is a big idea, a new world order.
Your world is not what it seems. Alex Hansen, Outside the Box.
Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, March 30th, 2009. I'm your host, Alex Hansen, with you for the next 2 hours. And today we're going to be covering a couple different news headlines that definitely need our attention. And the Dow has dropped down about what looks like 284 points. And this is following the news that the government is not going to bail out the auto industry. In fact, the Dow has crashed 254 points. And they gave trillions of dollars to the bankers, but the one industry that would have kept some jobs is not getting a bailout. This is from the AP. Wall Street's smart rally is on hold after the Wall Street, after the White House rejected turnaround plans from GM and Chrysler and gave investors an economic reality check. Major indexes fell about 3% Monday, including the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which lost about 254 points, but finished well off its lows. Financial stocks weighed heavily on the market and worried that banks needed fresh injections of capital. So we're not going to spend the whole day talking about the economic mess, and it really is a mess. And in fact, it's quite boring at this point and a lot of the same old, but we'll cover any new developments that we do see here today. And of course, you're welcome to call into the show with anything you want to go into at 866-841-1065. If you'd like to pick up where we left off yesterday with our topic about the mind control elements to the WWE and create a more violent society, we can talk about that. In fact, I have some more ideas on that, and there's a lot of stuff I really did not even have time to get into. But yes, Dow has dropped 554 points. When we see moves like the Fed buying about $1 trillion worth of debt from the Treasury, you know, these are last-ditch effort signs. We see, you know, major announcements that we're going to go into debt even more with China, that nothing else is working, and we're going beyond the point of no return. So when we're trying to discuss these things with other people, trying to get them to understand the severity of the situation, it's important that we be very, very clear as to what $1 trillion actually looks like. You know, when they're thinking about $1 million, they're thinking about $1 billion, $1 trillion. Well, to picture that in your head, you need to think about a very large Olympic size swimming pool that goes on and on and on, all filled with $100 bills. And so, yeah, we're looking at the consequences of that in the near future as a result of what the Federal Reserve has done. Now, there's this one particular guy who made a YouTube video criticizing this whole thing. He's a former NBC anchor. He was summoned last week to the White House to speak with Barack Obama about this popular YouTube video. And it looks to me like it's going to be an attempted compromise. Try to bring him into the inner circle. Maybe a promise of a whole lot of money. If the message changes a little bit, gets toned down, or becomes supportive of Barack Obama. So while the headline reads summons, he's summoned to the White House, this YouTube blogger. What could be really going on behind closed doors? We don't really know. Now, when we come back, let's talk about Ontario, California, or Ontario and other places. In California, tent city residents required to wear wristbands. And we'll talk about what's going on.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
required of their wristbands. All part of the programming, I suppose. And it is the city of Ontario. Not in Canada, but in the state of California. I was confused about that as I was initially reading the article. But it reads in the LA Times that since city residents gather as the city of Ontario starts the process of sorting out who may stay and who must leave, the city issued wristbands, blue for Ontario residents who may stay, orange for people who need to provide more documentation, and white for those who must leave. The aim is to reduce the number of people living there from over 400 to about 170. Officials began thinning out the encampment, saying the city can provide space only for those who once lived there and can prove it. Dozens of Ontario police and code enforcement officers descended upon the homeless encampment, known as Tent City, early Monday, separating those who could stay from those to be evicted. And I've heard the InfoWars crew is out there getting video of this eviction of the people, which is a good thing. That's one positive thing about that organization, even though there's a lot of resentment towards it, is the ability to send actual reporters out there to get video of some of the stuff that we can look at. And so I'm looking forward to seeing this Tent City footage from California when they get back. And it might already be up. I haven't looked at the site. Today I'm just focused mostly on Blacklisted News and RogueGovernment.com. I don't really want to be over there at the moment. But I'm interested in seeing this footage. Dozens of Ontario police and code enforcement officers descended upon the homeless encampment known as Tent City early Monday, separating those who could stay from those to be evicted. Large, often confused crowds formed ragged lines between police barricades where officers handed out color-coded wristbands. Blue meant that they're from Ontario and could remain. Orange indicated they had to provide more proof to avoid ejection. And white meant they had a week to leave. You know, it was almost like a programming element to this. But then again, I suppose they already are programmed. To get the little bracelets. Schwarzenegger might be overseeing this evacuation. Not sure if he's visited that personally. I think I've heard a report that he has or he will. Many who had taken shelter at the camp, which had grown from 20 to more than 400 residents in 9 months, lacked paperwork, bills, or birth certificates, proving they were once Ontario residents. One cheerful woman asked, "When my husband gets out of jail, he can bring my marriage certificate. Will that count?" Another resident, clearly confused, seemed relieved to get a white band, not understanding it meant she had to leave. One 47-year-old woman, shook with anger, who had her motorhome towed away last week. She said, "They are tagging us because we are homeless," staring at her orange wristband. "It feels like a concentration camp," end quote. And again, I'm reading from the LA Times. Ontario officials, citing health and safety issues, say it is necessary to thin out Tent City. The move to dramatically reduce the population, curtails an experiment begun last year to provide a city-approved camp where homeless people will not be harassed. Well, that's interesting. They've suggested the exact same thing in Portland, Oregon. See how interesting it is when you take the time to read these articles slowly? Yes, Portland has proposed the exact same thing. Let's get them off the streets and just cram them into this camp-like facility with security in the whole 9 yards and the pat-downs. Land that includes tents, toilets, and water have been set aside near Ontario International Airport for the homeless. Officials intended to limit the camp and its amenities to local homeless people, but there's little to enforce that as the site rapidly expanded, attracting people from as far away as Florida. hey, guys, I also live in Portland, Oregon, and it's going to be a real interesting summer here. And there was a big protest with the homeless. They're protesting the city, the vagrancy laws. You know, it's a crime to basically be homeless and not have a home, to be in a spot, to be loitering. But there needs to be a place where people have nothing, but where they can go. Because we're going to see more of this in the next couple months. More foreclosures. People have got to find a place to go. And you have your classic homeless, the alcoholics and dope fiends. And then you have the growing number of homeless, which are people that are already at the bottom. And now have been pushed through the cracks. Because this economic system is falling apart. And we know what the solution is of growing food. It's communities. It's coming together. It's developing places and ways of living off the grid. We know this. But I also find it sad. There's so many people out there that are becoming homeless that haven't figured out what's going on yet. So they're confused. They're shifting from urban population center to urban population center. Painful experience after painful experience. When it doesn't have to be like that, if they had the information, if they only knew what was coming next, their decisions, their lifestyles might be a little different. So I want to help them. I want to help the people that are suffering. I believe it's my mission. I believe it's my job. I believe it's somebody. It's the job of others as well. It's a collective effort to help people get through this transitionary period. This is a tyrannical government that really does have some in-game plans that already some of them seem to be in the making. Already seem to be the wheels in motion, if it were. Things are already going down. And so this year we're going to see a lot of different things. It's about education. And so when I see a lot of people just move from heavy population zone to dense population zone, living in the conditions that they do, it's a sad state of affairs when it really doesn't have to be that way. And so when we come back, we'll give Teddy the report about the tent city. And then we'll talk about some other things as well. G20 coming up. A lot of focus on that. Egypt provocateurs. Anarchists declaring violence and the police state buildup. G20 coming up next segment.
Decoding the New World Order, past, present, and future, Monday through Friday, 11 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, The Global Reality with Josh Reeves.
There and I partially walk out the street and walk around them. And I'm seeing more of that. I might say something to my coworkers and they're just like, what? Huh? I didn't see nothing. And it's at work and they're like, what's going on? This is so strange. I thought the government, everything was picking up. I thought it was all... No, it's not just going to turn around. No, it's just beginning. Stupid fool. Okay, Jeff in Portland is on the line. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Morning. How you doing?
Good.
Doing good. I don't know if anybody in Portland or Vancouver knows this, but Bob Schultz is going to be here tomorrow in Northeast Portland for the Continental Congress 2009. and it's going to be at the Mallory Community Enrichment Center. And the address is 126 Northeast Alberta Street, and the cross street is Mallory Avenue. It starts at 7 and goes to like 10 o'clock. I talked to Dee Dee Farrell earlier. She said there were like 250 people down at the thing in Medford last night, and I think he's speaking in Eugene tonight. So
I go over to Dee Dee's house every now and then. You know her?
Yeah, well, I just talked to her because there was a contact number, and she said she just interviewed you the other day and stuff like that. So I told her I was going to call you and tell everybody that's listening to your show around here to hopefully head up there tomorrow night.
Good job.
Maybe all the people you go to maybe all the people you go to Fireside with will end up there too, and maybe some people that have never been, you know.
Okay, so everybody, I do this thing on Wednesdays, Fireside, 5 o'clock. It's off Milwaukee and Powell. You're welcome to show up if you like. We don't have any special pamphlets laid out, no speeches. We're just having coffee. But we would like to call it a working group to find the stage somewhere or a facility or a place where we can do the show live and maybe have speakers. I'll let them know about that.
That would be cool.
Let's see. So you're looking at 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Bob Schultz from We the People. We the People Foundation, I think, right? And that's 120-something off of Alberta, you said?
No, the address is 126 Northeast Alberta, and across the street's Mallory Avenue.
What's this close to? What's the any landmark?
Well, 126, that's got to be – that's pretty close to Burnside, isn't it?
Say the address again.
126.
Yeah, the cross street. Okay.
Oh, Mallory.
Mallory. I'm trying to remember where Mallory is.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. No, I'm not. I don't know all the streets up in Northeast up there, but.
Well, what's the name of the festival? I'll just look it up right now since I'm online, so we can get 126 Mallory. Let's see if that's near a hotel or the Rose Garden or something.
No, the 126 is Alberta. Mallory is the cross street.
Okay, so this is up in Northeast.
Yeah, it's on Alberta. It's called the Mallory Community Enrichment Center.
Okay, how much does it cost?
You know what? I didn't see a price on it. Maybe it's just free. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, Mallory.
I got the email.
I have the address in front of me, and it is literally near Killingsworth. It's between Killingsworth and Alberta.
Right.
And it's just a little bit west of MLK. So it's still northeast, not quite north Portland. So, yeah, 126 Northeast Alberta Street. And you can easily take I-5 north for those listening up to that area and take the Killingsworth, Alberta exit and then head west. So those are your directions to get there.
Yeah, the email they sent me doesn't say anything about anything to get in, so you got me.
Okay. Well, thanks for that update. And
I just have to give you a shout-out there for that.
Yeah. And I'm looking it up right now online to see if there is anything posted about him being in Portland, and I don't see a whole lot of promotion for it. But
I just happened to sign up for his newsletter, and they sent this thing, and it had cities all up and down the West Coast that he was doing stuff at.
Well, maybe I'll go. Maybe I'll go. Maybe I'll see you if I can get out there. Yeah, I might check it out.
All right, have a good one.
All right, thank you. Anybody else have any updates? Go ahead and give me a call. Just call in real quick and just, you know, drop the info. And I think Glenn called in yesterday, and he was talking about some protesters that were arrested recently in Portland, something I had no clue about, but, you know, I don't track everything. And I'm going to go to portlandindymedia.org primarily for my info. Oh, let's see. What else? Well, I know there's another protest coming up that my friend Noah just emailed me about on my Facebook. And I might as well get into that now. For anyone listening in Portland that wants to show up, that's April 4th. You can get more information about that, pdxpeace.org. That's pdxpeace.org. They post a lot of stuff about mainstream protests. Mainstream. You know what I'm getting at here. Not so much Federal Reserve stuff, but just the whole in-the-war stuff, impeach Bush Cheney. Mainstream protesting. stuff. But that's also a good opportunity to get out there and interact with others to see how much they know about some of these other hardcore issues about the Federal Reserve and the banking establishment and the bank bailouts and how Obama's not the savior. But this is the day, April 4th, 1967, is 1 year to the day before his death. Dr. Martin Luther King delivered a speech at Riverside Church in New York City. Beyond Vietnam, a time to break silence. And this is commemorating that event. And then something else, all right, there's something else somebody wanted me to talk about, the freedommint.com. And some people are very amused that Alex Jones put himself on a gold coin. They're selling gold coins with his face on it, along with, you know, Ron Paul, Aaron Russo, and G. Edward Griffin, and Lady Liberty. So you can take a look at that, freedommint.com. What's my opinion of it? I don't know if I have much of an opinion on it. They are still selling gold, right? It still does have a tangible value, but I can understand the concerns about I understand. I just don't have a lot to say about it at the moment. Because everything's just so crazy in the world right now. This is kind of pale by comparison. When I compare it to the whole, gee, what's going to happen between April 4th and 5th? When the North Koreans announce, you know, it's going down. The rocket's getting launched. Or they call it a satellite. The Japanese call it a rocket or a missile. The Japanese say they're going to shoot it down. Now the U.S. is back down. And they're saying they're not going to mess with it. So we're all wondering, like, what's going on here? Could this be something that triggers something else later on? So these are all different things that we need to be looking at. Now, in terms of the Freedom Coins, I think the price is marked up quite a bit. How much? 50%? I'm not sure, but that part's a little bit odd. If it was market value, with maybe a slight markup because you have to deal with the engraving. That takes someone very talented or, you know, expensive equipment to get that job done. But, the markup on the coins and the whole put your face on a coin thing is just kind of weird anyway. And I always thought it was weird to see presidents and other human faces on there on money. Information for you. Russia backs return to gold standard to solve financial crisis. Also, 5 activists arrested in G20 bomb plot as London goes into lockdown for world leaders. And this is interesting. We'll have to get into this at some point. Indian Army fears China attack by 2017. All very, very interesting and important. Joe Walsh has called in from Portland. Certainly a lot of calls from Portland recently, which is always a good thing. Hello.
Oh, hi, Alex. I'm just calling in to give you a report on a demonstration that was taking place on Sunday. And the demonstration was against AIPAC that was holding their meeting over on the Capitol Highway in 26. So about 100 of us went to protest AIPAC being there. This is a very bad organization, AIPAC.
Describe the group for us. Describe in brief the group.
Okay, the group that was protesting?
Yes.
Or the group that was inside?
The group you're protesting and why?
Okay, AIPAC stands for American-Israeli Public Affairs Commission, or committee. And it's a lobbying group for Israel. Their budget is about $70 million a year. They spend most of it on our congresspeople to support Israel, no matter what Israel does. That's why we didn't get any reaction out of Congress when we tried to get them to condemn Israel's action in Gaza. What they did was they passed a unanimous resolution in support of Israel. And the reason that happens is, for instance, Senator Wyden got $300,000 from this group. This is a really bad group.
Okay, so, I mean, I've heard a little bit about them myself. So what happened? You guys were protesting, about 100 of you?
Yeah, there was about 100 of us on the Capitol Highway on 26. Now, there was a real heavy contingent of police there. And very unusual, because I take part in a lot of demonstrations, small, big demonstrations. I've never seen this many cops. There had to be 20 or 30 cops for a very small group of protesters. So what they did was they came out and they blocked the sidewalk. The police did. They had about, maybe six to eight police officers. Where you walk on the sidewalk, there's a driveway going into the place where they were holding their affair. We were on the sidewalk. The police arbitrarily decided we could not go past that driveway. So they cut off a section of the sidewalk for us and split us in two. And I was going to go home, so I was going to say goodbye to people, and I just walked up at the wrong time, I guess. Because they told me I couldn't cross the driveway.
Ooh, you're making me want a bullhorn here. I'm wanting to get the bullhorn out.
Okay, wait a minute. They said you can't go across the driveway. And I said, why? There's no cars coming. I'm not blocking traffic. So why can't I go across? It's part of the sidewalk. And they said, we decided that. So I said, well, okay. So I started to walk. They grabbed me, pushed me back in. I walked again, and that's when I was arrested.
You know, I don't even need a bullhorn. I should just shout. I need to get one of those cones.
Yeah,
I got a powerful enough voice. I'm intense enough that I can do it without going to jail.
Well, you know, I got a little horn that I use from time to time. Not a bullhorn, but it's one of those things you see in college. You
know, that's what I need, the sports games.
Oh. Yeah.
Y'all got everybody listening. Get armed with those things. Get bullhorns. But you have your backup, because they try to pull a legal card. Oh, you can't have your bullhorn because we can hear it past 50 feet. If you got a strong enough voice, well, you don't want to lose your voice. Get one of those coins.
If we hear it, a block away, then it's too loud. Nonsense. It's based on decimals. If it's more than 60 decimals, you're in violation. That's very loud. So, you know, they always say that. And then they confiscate the bullhorn. So anyway, that's why I went to the non-mechanical one. But so they took me down. They charged me with three different charges: interfering with a police officer, refusing a lawful order, and disorderly conduct. And I thought my conduct was excellent, but they didn't think so. So once again,
you got arrested. You got arrested.
Yeah, I got arrested on those three charges, and because I was arrested outside of Blumenau's office and they had my fingerprints and mugshots, when they got me down to the sheriff's office, they all knew me down there because I was wearing an arrest Bush Cheney shirt, and they remembered me from the impeachment when I was arrested outside of Blumenau's office. So they didn't have to take my fingerprints, and they didn't have to, take my mugshots, and I was on oxygen when I was arrested. I had this little wheel.
Yeah, that's right. I've seen you. I've seen you with your oxygen tank. I was walking by to go do my taxes, and you guys were doing the whole impeach Bush protest thing. Or should I say in prison or arrest Bush and Cheney.
Yeah, that's what we went. We went in the special prosecutor and, of course, the arrest of the principals. So I had this little oxygen thing. I call it Little Earl. It's named after Blumenauer because it's so full of, gas. So we call it Little Earl. So you see me in the street wheeling this oxygen bottle. So the cop arrested me in the oxygen bottle. So I asked them if they wanted a mugshot of the oxygen bottle, but they said no. So anyway, they held me for about an hour and a half, and then they turned me loose, and they did a really strange thing. They put me in the car, and they didn't do any paperwork on me because it was already all there. So they dropped me off right outside the Justice Center, and I had to put my shoelaces back in and all that stuff. And I'm standing out, and I said, boy, this looks really weird. So anyway, AIPAC is really a bad organization. People ought to look it up. And they ought to say something to our Senator Wyden that he's got to stop taking his money, because what happened in Gaza is terrible. And what's happening in Gaza for the last 40 years is terrible. People that live in Gaza are they're immigrants. They don't belong in Gaza. They're living in immigration camps. But since 1948.
Did they take you inside the jail?
Yeah, they actually took me inside, and then what they do is the Portland police turn you over to the sheriff's department who runs the jail. And once he turned me over to them, then one of them recognized me and said, well, you've been here before. So I said, yeah. They said, well, they should have just given you a ticket. So I said, well, I said, this police officer was not too happy with me. So anyway,
is there any video of it? Any video?
There's going to be, there's a bunch of veterans, and I'm a veteran. I'm a member of Vietnam Veterans Against the War, but Veterans for Peace was there, and they're going to have a video up in a day or so. So they're doing the cleanup of it now. It's on in the media, and it also was on after Downing Street. So, and we just want people to understand that if they don't know what AIPAC is, they really need to find out what it is. Because this is really a bad, bad organization. They got a lot of money, and they cause a lot of corruption. I mean, how do you get a Senator Wyden to say anything against Israel when he takes $300,000 from the Israeli lobby? How do you do that?
Exactly. We got a break coming up. Is there anything else you want to add?
Nope. That's it.
Well, thank you for that report, and let me know if anything comes up in the future.
So we're going to go to trial, and we'll plead not guilty at trial, and then we'll have a full trial.
Okay, I'm sure I'll hear about that. Anybody you want to take a look, portlandindiamedia.org, there might be some info on that. Joe Walsh, good luck, and thanks for calling in with that report.
Yeah, people want to really believe that they have to stay in the streets. Do not give up. Do not think Obama's going to solve it. Get in the streets.
And if Joe Walsh can do it, he's on oxygen. A lot of these other kids in college would be able to do it.
The Intel Strike Report, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Central. It is where the rubber meets the road.
Exclusively on Oracle Broadcasting.
Never gonna get
looks like a good one. Honda creates a robot controlled by power of thought. It's fine. It's nothing. Keep moving. Stay in line. Get in the line. It's sort of like coming in line, going into the concentration camp. All right, this is from the Daily Mail. Opening a car door, turning up the heating at home could become just a wish away with Honda's new technology that connects thoughts inside your brain with a robot. Oh, great. You know, I actually was just reading the other day about robots in Japan. They're teaching the kids. It's all right. Well, the Japanese company has developed a way to read patterns of electric currents on a person's scalp, as well as changes in cerebral blood flow when a person thinks about four simple movements: moving the right hand, moving the left hand, running, and eating. Honda succeeded in analyzing such thought patterns, and they're relaying them as wireless commands for Asimo, its human-shaped robot. In a video shown at Toyota headquarters, a person wearing a helmet sat still but thought about moving his left hand, a thought that was picked up by cords attached to his head inside the helmet. After several seconds, Asimo, programmed to respond to brain signals, lifted its left arm, and I've seen these Asimo robots over and over and over and over again. This is nothing new to me the last couple years. And if you Google that in the image section of Google, hence Google, you'll see what these things look like. Not quite the Terminator, although that's on its way, I'm sure. Honda said the technology wasn't quite ready for a live demonstration because of possible distractions in the person's thinking. Another problem is that brainwaves differ greatly among individuals, and so about 2 to 3 hours of studying them in advance are needed for the technology to work. The company, a leader in robotics, acknowledged the technology was still at a basic research stage with no immediate practical applications in the works. Right. They're still way, way far into the future, according to the exec at Honda Research Institute. That technology, an interesting thing. An interesting thing to see where it has gone and where it continues to take us. And brain chips. People accessing their email. You know, they got people loving text messaging so much. Why would that be any different? Would it be any different to a future generation that only knows high technology, powerful technology, invasive advertising, a world where it's fun to play with your EEG, where EEGs can be scanned and are scanned, but where, you know, we're playing for video games by thought, where you are controlling the character in the game based on your thought patterns? All of these things are technologically possible today. So where is it going to go in the future? It's going to be interesting to find out. But
everybody's got a price.
I guess this is what it comes down to, though.
Everybody's going to pay. Because the $1 million man.
We got $1 million mans, $1 billion mans, $1 trillion mans running around. Pushing technology and their bailout packages.
Some might cost a little. Some might cost a lot. But I'm the $1 million man.
All right, that was fun. 866-841-1065. That is the number to call, or, of course, 512-904-8014, 512-904-8014. All right. Now, I just don't know what's going on with these people, how deep it really goes. It's just so mysterious. Just seen headlines like this. Oprah's South African school rocked by yet another sex scandal. Oprah Winfrey? No. What? No, what? New York Daily News. This is where it comes from. Obama Winfrey's elite boarding school for girls in South Africa has been rocked by its second sex scandal in fewer than 2 years. Seven students were suspended last week for sexually harassing their schoolmates. One 15-year-old was accused of preying on another pupil and forcing other girls to lie to investigators about it. Well, in this country, why are they surprised when stuff happens? This is what they're taught to do on TV. And I'm the guy that talks about it, one of the few. And I'm the guy that doesn't also seem to get a lot of responses from people when I do talk about this stuff. There's a few on Oracle. On Oracle, you guys are receptive. Most people, they just don't get it. The idea that people are mirroring what they're seeing on TV in profound ways. But, sex abuse in South Africa, throughout Africa, different situation. Because not through the TV if they're seeing it. They're seeing it in everyday life. They're seeing it happen to their mothers. They're seeing it happen to their sisters. And it's pretty much an example of, well, you know, the monkey learning skills from the other monkeys in the village and how things are done and how to act and what is right. And also when you see a lot of these people get, you know, abused early on, a lot of people go on to be sex offenders, were in fact abused themselves. So we see a lot of children abused constantly in Africa that later grow up, males included, that continue this dark, dark legacy. And it's still going on today. And I see it as a social virus, something that's a part of the old world but still existing today with a darker, newer streak to it. And I worry about its presence in America, how influential the TV set is. And I talked about the WWE yesterday, and, you know, as I was at an establishment last night near my place, relaxing for a little bit, and they're weighing the sports there, and they got three monitors constantly feeding you this, that, and the other, and the hypnotic ball going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now, the UFC is always on. I've described the UFC to you guys many times, just different scenes, and so I noticed there was a lot of white versus black guy stuff. You know, white guy fighting the black guy. Angry, scary-looking black guy screaming tough talk at his opponent. You know, he's already been kicked multiple times. He's already on the ground. He's already bleeding. And there's no honor in it. It's, you know, I'm going to kick you really hard, and I'm going to knee in the face. And I'm going to hit you and hit you and hit you and hit you, and when you're down, I'm just going to scream at you like I'm an animal that's out of control. And the MMA is also used as a recruiting tool for the Marines. Get people violent, get people pumped up, take out the honor aspect, take out the love aspect, and bring out the darker elements, and then pray around all these women. Parade all these women around. Treat them as sex objects, get people programmed to view reality that way, and from that point on, people are very easy to control. Control them by their little head as well as their big head. Arousing them and also bringing out that animal nature, violent nature too, all through the device of a simple technology known as the television set, which makes up and paints our world.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Welcome back, second hour of Outside the Box, reporting from the Dark City. City of Roses, but the city that definitely needs a little bit of sun. Starting to wonder what's going on out there.
They're blocking out the sun, man.
I don't know. Maybe. April showers bring May flowers, I guess is how it goes. In other words, I'm told I'm supposed to be patient. Anyways, there's some other things we're going to be going into as well. I at least want to read this headline, and if you want to read the full story, go ahead. It's written by Michael Cutler. Violent gangs from all over the world infest American cities, and I think he makes a lot of... probably makes a lot of great points in the report. Talking about this issue that we're dealing with in the country. The way he starts it, though, is with 9/11 being caused by illegal immigrants. And it's a great way to lose someone that's aware of the facts. So when you see a major error, a factual error, in the beginning of the report, it makes you naturally question the credibility of the rest of the information contained in the rest of the report. So that's why it's always good to use discernment. It's why it's always good to read between the lines and have a little bit of knowledge, background, into the story so you don't believe everything that you hear, so you don't believe everything that you read. So you yourself are the educated one, can know right versus wrong, BS versus truth. Now let's go over a couple more headlines. Joseph Stiglitz, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, has said that the IMF currency can be floated within a year. A reserve currency system based on the IMF unit instead of the U.S. dollar could be phased in within a year, and this is what China wants. And this is what Gettner is talking about when he says that it is possible. When he speaks before the Council on Foreign Relations, while lying blatantly, while under testimony in front of Congress. Here is George Soros. He's warning Britain. He's warning that Britain may soon need the IMF's help. And much of this money from the IMF is going to be coming from China, which is going to help continue China's growth in the immediate future. Now, on the topic of what I mentioned earlier about the Indian Army in China, this is from the Daily Times. Headline reads, Indian Army fears China attack by 2017. The Indian military fears a Chinese aggression in less than a decade. Claims that a secret exercise called Divine Matrix by the Army's military operations has visualized a war scenario with a nuclear-armed neighbor before 2017. So we'll examine this a little bit when we come back and then get into some other reports as well. Stay with me. The Independent, police identified 200 children as potential terrorists. 200 school children in Britain, some as young as 13, have been identified as potential terrorists by a police scheme that aims to spot youngsters who are vulnerable to Islamic radicalization. That is one report from The Independent. Here is another one, and I have a number of things to say about the next one. I've talked about it before. It's from MSNBC. Government panel recommends all teens to be tested for depression. And no doubt the pharmaceutical industrial complex, the Prozac companies of the world are involved in this, and God knows what else. All right, this is from the AP and MSNBC. An influential government-appointed medical panel is urging doctors to routinely screen all American teens for depression, a bold step that acknowledges that nearly 2 million teens are affected by this particular condition. This thing they call depression, this thing they call sadness. They don't even understand consciousness or really how the mind works or where we come from on a soul level. And they have everything pinned down in their scientific box. Literally every emotion is a condition, it seems, in this world where science has become a religion. Albeit a religion a little bit differently than the Catholic religion or the Islamic religion or the Christian religion, but a religion nonetheless, where there are things that within the scientific box, things that by questioning those things or by looking outside the box, it's like a scientific blasphemy. And you know, they go on to say that most are undiagnosed and untreated, and that's true. A lot of people are not dealing with their depression. But it's a 90% chance, 95% chance. This article is not for helping the kids. It's getting them on drugs. The root cause of depression is rarely addressed in our society, but I think it's really rarely addressed in people's lives. In a world where it's so easy to stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff all kinds of things, it's all a matter of your particular palate. What, you like the heroin? You like the cocaine? Is it the booze? Is it the hard stuff? Or is it just the beer? Is it the nicotine? Is it the sex? What is it? Is it the shopping? Is it the Facebook? Is it the reality? I mean, what is it? Now, for a lot of people, it's their particular TV show and in the world of, anyway, that this is something that we did not have in our society years ago when we were more active and we were defending our family and we were active with our family and we were in communities and we knew our neighbor. You know, the other world before this one came into full on being. So anyway, they have this task force set up to screen all these kids for depression. No doubt the drug companies are waiting in the wings, and they're talking about clinically depression, and they have a solution for that, of course. Maybe they could just scan our minds and reprogram it with something to make it. Maybe they can propose that idea in 10 years. And they just got a special machine out there that can just fix it, scan our EEG. Okay, it'll tell us what's wrong. And it'll all look very scientific. It'll be like something from Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth, the graph and everything. It'll be so convincing. And then they can tell us, well, we need to blast out this part of your brain because that's where the problem is. Or we can just give you this pill. It's this memory-erasing pill. Remember that traumatic experience you had? That thing you want to forget? Here's a pill where you can forget about it. This is the modern world. Now, this is the world before the brain chip's introduced and the microchip. We're incrementally moving there. With our own EEGs being, you know, logged when we enter into these certain secure zones in the U.S., they have these readers. But the incremental one right now that's moving in is the DNA database, which a lot of people are already comfortable with. And already have heard a lot about, and for the most part, they're told in the, you know, medical community and in medical school in particular that this is all about us becoming a healthier society. you know, by knowing all about our DNA and how we can fix things, then they're in the area of designer babies and it just doesn't really make any sense. This stuff's not moving us forward, it's moving us backward. When we could see concurrently other dark programs going on with technology that change our understanding of what it means to be a human in this world of so much technology, nanotech, and nanoparticles flying through the air, and people going, well, what is this thing, Morgellons? And what's going on? And there's something going on out there. The technology is doing, and it's affecting people. Now, I said before, Indian Army fears China attack by 2017, that report from the Daily Times, and, I'm looking at that. They fear basically a Chinese invasion less than a decade. India does. And their military report coming out of India says that a misadventure by China is very much within the realm of possibility of Beijing trying to position itself as the only power in the region. There will be no nuclear warfare, but a short, swift war that can have menacing consequences for India. And I don't understand why everybody, when the conversation of World War III comes up, that nukes always get mentioned. You know, there's a lot of ways to wage war other than destroying the property that you might try to own later on. But no, I'm not convinced they're going to bomb the heck out of America completely, because this is valuable land. But there are other ways to take on an enemy. And my focus is on electromagnetic weapons in terms of my feeling as to what's going to go down. Take out our grid and lower the defenses. Let the raid begin. So we'll be back, folks. Stay with me. This is Outside the Box from the Oracle Broadcasting Network. I'm Alex Answer.
Pull back the curtain to expose the matrix on Axiom Radio with Rob Jowder and Joel Disson, weekdays at 7 p.m. on the one and only Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Hour of Outside the Box, 866-841-1065. We'll be here for you if you'd like to bring anything up and bring any news reports to us, such as robot armies preparing to descend upon America by 2020, popping new Trump bombs in the city. If you have any evidence, anything like that, any information you want to relay back to us, go ahead and let us know. If you know about mass extermination by 2025. You got the evidence, you're going to lay it down, just how it's going to go down, and what the birdie in your head told you last night, that's fine too. We can play some soundtrack music as we go about our detailing of Apocalypse Now Redux remix, Oracle Broadcasting style, baby. You know, anything you want to discuss, 866-841-1065. If you have some predictions you'd like to make about the WWE and some of the new demonic characters they may bring out as the New World Order has more control over the American people, for people of the world. You can call in and give us your character predictions for Vince McMahon, the CEO of the WWE, to pick up. And, yeah. So, we covered that. Ontario, California, tent city residents required to wear wristbands, programming, wear your wristband, blah, 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 get in the camp, and he's trying to move them over to some fairground facility. And I'm wondering if the cotton candy will be distributed. Schwarzenegger is going to be putting all these homeless people, or attempting to, in the state fairgrounds. I want to know about the corn dog situation. Okay? I want to know about the cotton candy situation. I want to know if little ponies are going to be there and all that. Maybe some nice little photo op opportunities. He can, like, ride around in a fake cowboy hat, you know, on, like, a horse. And he could throw, you know, those GMO snack foods, the goldfish, right? All these starving people around Schwarzenegger with a fake cowboy hat, his Nazi belt buckle, on a big white horse, or black horse with like a demonic red streak on the side of it, you know, whatever suits your fancy, and throwing goldfish out to the crowd, like, you know, let them eat Monsanto type of thing, you know, Secret Service people walking around them, and people will be angry, and they'll be throwing toilet paper at them, and, you know, Nestle water bottles, and would it just be a bad, bad situation. And then you'd have the goons come out, the security apparatus around Schwarzenegger, and, you know, they're spraying bear spray at the crowd, and it's just, it's messy. It's very, very messy. But, it'd be interesting to get some footage of that in the next couple of days and take a look at what is actually going on at this particular facility. And, yeah, people in the chat room over at Oracle, they're definitely getting a kick out of the Alex Jones mint coins. I think he looks better in real life than he does in the coins, which is kind of interesting. You know, something not quite right about the coin version. You're looking at about, I think, two grand for that particular commemorated coin. Anyway, you know what? What was that website again? Yeah. Freedommint.com. Bob Schultz, again, Bob Schultz of We the People. I think we may be able to, catch up with him tomorrow for an interview. I don't know. I'm sure it's very possible to at least get 5 minutes if I had a camera, but I don't have a camera. Email me if someone listening is planning on going, if you know some more information about it, where the after party is, you know, get all wasted, get Bob Schultz to spill the beans. I'm just kidding. But you always gotta set up the after party, the backstage thing. I do it all the time. I'm just kidding. That's for the future, though, when we get the live party. When we get the live party going on, we'll have the backstage. It'll just be a totally crazy scene at when we do Outside the Box Live, minus, you know, the sex scandals and the cocaine using and things of that nature. You know, we'll be like trading DVDs like playing cards or something like that instead. But real geeks. Yeah. Yeah. And so, I don't know. What would the Alex Hansery backstage party look like? Well, we'd have some beers, but definitely no. Yeah, I wouldn't be so much into the booze. You guys just have your fun with that. Yeah, there'd be a lot of fun stuff going on. It's a good thing. It's a good thing I never made it, because I would just totally. All right, enough joking around here. Got about a half hour left here, and all technology news is just all about scanning the mind. And, you know, I just keep scrolling down. It's like the same story that's just been rewritten a different way, or different announcements really about the same thing or the same type of technology coming to fruition. So I think it's been about 3 years or 4 years since I've been looking at that particular issue, and now it's pretty much out there in the mainstream that in American airports and some other airports in Europe, like at Heathrow in London, that these type of cameras are already being established that actually scan the EEG. And any Americans going into Europe are going to have to submit to all types of biometric information and data that's going to be shared by multiple countries for the rest of their lives, no matter what happens in the future with, you know, falls of democracy and dictatorships and abuse of power and abuse of that information. That's what people have to deal with. And also all the passports have changed. So they actually track people where they go through the RFID and the passports. And so it's incremental because we don't really, hey, we're not the terrorists. We don't have anything to worry about. And we pass on this legacy to our children. Here, this is a free society. Here's your passport, and here's your tracked and traced ID, and now we need your thumb scan, and now we need this. And, you know, we're starting to read more reports pop up about police wanting blood at checkpoints, you know, to make sure you're not drinking and driving. So it's getting to a point now, or it's reaching a peak, the yang of the yin-yang, if you will. The top of the cycle, the top of the credenza, the wave. And here we are trying to ride that wave without falling down, staying balanced, staying aware of our surroundings. And part of that's unplugging from the matrix or unplugging from the what we call the consensus reality of what others call normal and what others call real. Because real, reality, truth, all those things are relative. They mean different things to different people. I know I've said this several hundred times already. But it's something few people really, if they did understand that element, so many things would become clear. Now, when we come back, we need to talk about the G20, the anarchists that are preparing for battle, blood, fire started, wars against the bankers. It's a very interesting situation. The police are on standby in mass, ready for this summer of rage. Anarchist plot mayhem for the G20 in London coming up in a few days. We'll get into that story and more right here on Outside the Box. And a country is drifting to war. There's a
shadow on the face. You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.